Good morning. Grateful to be with you today to share God's Word with you. Our sermon text will be primarily from Genesis chapter 12. Very thankful, Pastor Martin and the elders, of having us, inviting us here today. It's always a privilege of coming here, being warmly welcomed by you, and being encouraged by your gospel-oriented lives. We're very grateful for that. Going to read first from Hebrews 11, 8 through 12, and then I would like to take for our sermon text Genesis 12 through 9, beloved. Before we read, let us be reminded this is God's inerrant, inspired word to us today, and we want to ask for the Lord Jesus to grant His Holy Spirit to illuminate our understanding, to give us light to be able to see and ears to hear, hearts to receive properly before we read. So let us go to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You that You are the true God, the triune God. We thank You that You're the creator of heaven and earth and all things visible and invisible. We thank You that You're a good and gracious God. We thank You that we can seek You, our God and Father in Christ, and seek Your presence and enjoy Your holy presence via the throne of grace. We thank You that as we come to You, we can come with confidence through the mediator that You've appointed, the heir of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, our prophet, priest, and king. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You rule and reign over heaven and earth, and You've given us Your most holy word. We thank You that Your sheep hear Your voice, and they follow You. And we pray now, great shepherd of the sheep, You would speak through Your word by Your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, take from Christ and make it known to us today. Make it effectual. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. We pray that You would help Your servant to decrease, that the Lord Jesus might increase, that we might gaze upon Your glory and be transformed from one degree of glory to the next. We pray in Jesus' name, and all the church responded with a resounding Amen. God's word from Hebrews chapter 11. It's that great chapter on faith. And we're taught in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And now turning to Genesis chapter 12, beloved, we'll read our sermon text for this morning. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Beloved of Knox Church, this is a sermon entitled Blessed. And we want to think about what it means to be blessed. Blessed or blessing is one of those words or concepts that we know what it means, but we're not always able to define it. You know, what if you said, "God bless you," to someone, and they said, "What exactly does that mean? I understand you're God, and I understand it's for me, but what is the blessing? What does it mean to be blessed?" Well, blessing, to be blessed, is a very broad definition. As one writer had put it, speaking of covenant, it's like trying to define what it means to be mother, or what mama means, what covenant means. It's difficult. But from this passage, let us try to define it in this way. To be blessed is to be graced. It's a grace gift from God to make our lives truly happy in Him. It's a grace gift from God to be truly happy in Him. And it's a gift of the triune God, the one God in three persons. Our God and Father is the source of all blessing. The Lord Jesus is the substance of all blessing. And the Holy Spirit is the giver of all blessing. And in this passage today, we see three truths about what it means to be blessed or to receive a blessing from God. And the first of those truths will be our first point. It is that God blesses His people with His sovereign and gracious call. God blesses His people with His sovereign, gracious call. The second is that God blesses His people with His promises from His Word. That God blesses His people with His promises. And number three is God blesses His people in order that we may be a blessing to others. A blessing to God and to others. The first thing we want to look at then is how God blesses His people by His sovereign and gracious call. The earth, the world, Mankind was under God's curse at this time. We're told in Genesis 6 before the flood that man's heart was evil constantly, continually. And God preserved his people through Noah. We're told just in the chapter before, chapter 12, that the people in the world wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be God. They wanted to be the center of reality for themselves. And even though the people were greatly sinful, God wanted to bless a people. And so he begins a restoration project, a recreation project, by sovereignly and graciously calling Abram to leave home. And he calls Abram to leave home in order to find home, not in this present age that is passing away, but in God himself. If you'll notice what's highlighted in verse 1, it's easy for us to read as God's people and not be astounded, amazed by this first sentence in chapter 12, verse 1. It's because we've been privileged to know the story. But from Abram's perspective, out of nowhere, with this grace gift from God, totally undeserved and unexpected, he's surprised by the true and living God speaking. And that always reminds us, beloved, that the true and living God condescends. He comes to us to make himself known, to reveal himself, to say, this is who I am, and this is what I've purposed you to be, and I want to grace you. I want to bless you. I want you to find your ultimate home in me. And so it begins with the Lord speaking a command, saying to Abram, go. Go. Now I want to ask you, young people, children, when you're asked about yourself, what's your name? You tell them. You might say, if someone asks you, what is it? What defines you? Who are you? You would begin to explain by saying, well, my dad and my mom are these, and I'm of this family, and I'm from this place. And what you are describing is your identity, the identity that's rooted in a family, that's rooted in a place. And what Abram is being told to do by the sovereign blessedness of God is to go from everything familiar to him, the place where he was educated, from living under the flag that he recognized, the colors of his people and his place, those things familiar to where he lived, where he grew up, to leave that familiarity, to leave that family, and to follow where God would teach him, where God would show him. And he did not know where he was going. It was not just that God commanded Abram, but God gave the grace to follow that command. And Abraham willingly left in order to find this new life. Now, right before chapter 12, we hear that God had spoken to Abraham some time back. In the beginning of chapter 12, verse 1, it should be probably best translation is that the Lord said, or the Lord had said to Abram, because there are other events that have taken place. Abram's entire family, with Terah, except for Haran who had died, but Terah, his father, his two brothers, Nahor and himself, or his Abram himself and his brother, Nahor, had gone up to Haran. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this, I want you to think about it visually for a moment. They're leaving a place of familiarity and identity, of rootedness, to uproot completely, following what God had revealed to Abram. And they're going along the Euphrates River. And now visually think of, if you will, the right side of a wishbone. They're going up to Haran, which is due northwest. And so they're following the Euphrates River up to Haran. And then in Haran, Terah, the father of Abram, dies. And then Abram and Lot and some others that I'll highlight in a moment go with him all the way to Canaan. If you see the wishbone on the right, you follow up to the wishbone to the northwest, you're now seeing from Haran Abram and Lot and others in his family, including Sarai, going down to the promised land, to Canaan, directly down to where we'll see Ai and Bethel, just north of what would be Jerusalem. And I want you to note something. When Abram's leaving, he goes originally with his family to Haran. But then Abram continues faithfully to the place that God has shown him. He has a temporary continuation with family, but Terah dies, and some of his other family members do not go with him. It reminds us that there are often, sometimes, in the powerful, sovereign grace of God, two paths that we travel to some degree together. I'll never forget me and a friend very early in our lives. The first time I can recall the Lord's grace becoming real to me and being called to follow the Lord Jesus. And he said, yes, I'll follow the Lord Jesus too. And we got, if you will, spiritually to Haran together. But at that place, the two roads diverged between, not in a yellow wood, but between the path that is wide and the narrow way. And by God's grace and power, I continued, and he stayed. He did not continue the journey that God had seemingly called him to. That is, he did not, though he heard the general call to all, he did not see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in his life and his heart. And to this day, we're separated because of God's blessing to me, though I've sought peace. And you can think about your own call, that sovereign and gracious, powerful call of God, that you, even though you were with other family members, other friends, you all may have been in a church service under the preaching of the Word, under the teaching of the Word, under the privilege of growing up under the Word, and you heard, and you believed, and you're still hearing, and you're still believing. You're still on pilgrimage, going where God has called you to go. But you, like I, can see where some have not followed. The sovereign, the blessing of the sovereign and gracious power of God is seeing that in that call, we see more than just a mere land. Abram left for a new life, a new identity, because he saw by faith a new destiny and a new purpose to live as God's child, to become, by God's grace, though a sinner who would lie, a sinner who would be fearful, a sinner who would continually struggle against his sins, he was shown grace because God is gracious and God is powerful, and God would change him through his pilgrimage, through his life, through his circumstances. God called him to go, and he went, because he was able to see. That's the first thing we see in verse 1, is that the call to go was not just a command that the sovereign and gracious God gave. He gave the grace to follow. And Abraham followed, not knowing where he's going, but seeing at the end of God's promises that new life, that new identity, that new home in the Lord. And Abram is given as a pattern for us that I will say more about in a moment. But the second thing we want to note about this blessing, this sovereign, gracious blessing that God gives, there's also the promises of God. I want you to know this, not just go, but it's how God, our Father, in His graciousness, captures Abram's imagination with His Word. He captures his imagination with several I wills, with promises. Note with me in verse 2, he says, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land I will show you. And verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who curse you. I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you, I will curse, and in you I will bless all the families of the earth. And then in verse 7, he appears to him again, the Lord appeared and says, to your offspring I will give this land. Now let's think for a moment very particularly about Abram living on these promises. The Lord blesses His people with promises. We're to live on these promises. We're to feed on these promises. We're to remember these promises. This is what first captured Abraham's mind by faith through the Spirit, was the promises of God. And so though he was leaving an old life behind, he was going to a new life. In fact, if you know your geography, let me remind you of the Euphrates River that flows from Haran above north of the Promised Land. It was a significant moment when Abram crossed over the Euphrates. It was like one of those bridges we cross in a move that we've made by faith, going somewhere, and we realize a new state we're entering, and we say, we've just broken formally with the past. Abraham broke from his past, literally crossing over a great river. A river that you could say symbolizes a death and a new life. Because although his identity was rooted in Ur of the Chaldees, he was now going for a new name, a new identity, a new family, a new inheritance. And to be that person who becomes a blessing to the rest of the world. And so let's think about a few of these things with regard to his leaving his identity and finding a new one. What is it that God promises particularly? He promises Abram in verse 2 that I will make you a great nation. He promises him that though you're just a small clan of faithful people, you, Sarai, Lot, and a few others, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to take your identity and I'm going to give you that corporate, that blessed family because you have followed me. He says, I will bless you and make your name great. Though those of Ur of the Chaldees knew Abram, he's going to a place where no one knows of him. It seems from his history, what we can build or what we can put together of Abram's history, he was aristocratic. He was polytheistic. Terah's family was, at least. It says in Joshua 24, 1 and 2 that God had called Abram from a family that was polytheistic, that served and worshiped the lunar gods on the other side of the Mesopotamia, on the other side of the Euphrates. So he's a polytheist, he was an aristocrat, and he was quite wealthy. And he leaves all this for the riches of God's promise. He says to him, you will be a blessing. He says to him, I will bless you. I will grace gift you. So that you, Abram, by faith will receive my happiness. You will be the one who will begin a new humanity, restore a new creation. You'll be the one, Abram, who will be my instrument of blessing to the world. And so he gives him these promises. He says to him, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then in verse 7 again, when the Lord appears to him a second time to confirm what he's already said, to reveal himself a little bit more, he reveals himself to his sight and he says, I will give you this land. Now, in this promise, what are these promises ultimately pointing him forward to? That's what we want to think about. First is that through Abraham, the man of faith, these promises are an articulation, a summary of the gospel, of the good news that our gracious God wants to make known to the world. Jesus is going to come in the fullness of time. He who knew no sin would become sin for us so that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Ultimately, these promises are in their substance, in their fullness, about Jesus being not only the Lord of Abraham who's made the promise to him, but the Son of Abraham who would faithfully make effectual these promises to Abram and to all who believe. We're told very clearly in Galatians 3:8 that the promise that was made to Abraham that you'll be the father of many nations was the gospel in a nutshell. And I'll remind you of your great God that even after Adam and Eve had sinned and transgressed against him and his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his blessing, God was the first evangelist who said that the seed of the woman will bear fruit. The seed of the woman, that one who will come, the warrior who will defeat the dragon serpent lord, will crush the serpent's head. Take away all evil. Take away sin and brokenness and sickness and suffering. And this is God the evangelist again in Genesis 12, reiterating that, but then bringing that promise to the next level, to the next phase, because he's calling Abram to be that man of the new creation, that man of the new humanity, that man with a name that God will honor because he will be the father of the faithful. He will be the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be the man whom God will bless, who will have a nation of people, the church, the beloved of God, the one, those for whom Christ came in the fullness of time to die for. He will be those, that one who inherits the land. And beloved, do you know what the land symbolized? It was just a way that he could get, Abram could put his hands in the dirt, in the dust, and get a feel for things. That's how gracious God is. He gives us this sense of the physical sometimes to aid us in our faith in his promises. He wants us to see the land. He wants us to feel the land. But the land was pointing to the whole world. Abram was nothing less than heir of the world, Romans 4:13 tells us. Abram was to be heir of the world. And Abram fed on these promises throughout his life. Abram's remembered in the hall of faith as remembering these promises that God made. And beloved, let me remind you of something here that I think is most important for us. We have God's word. We have his promises. The way that we remember the characteristics of our father Abraham, the way we remember how particularly to feed on and live by God's promises is simply through faith. Sometimes a weak faith, but through his word. Abraham is described in Romans 4:20 and 21 that he was unwavering concerning the promises of God. But he gave glory to God because he was fully convinced, he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised to do. That's what we're to do, is feed on those promises of blessedness that we have as being children of Abraham in the church, of being part of that great nation, of having a new name in Christ, of having been called by Christ Himself to follow Him and to leave everything precious behind, to be willing to follow Jesus even in forsaking father and mother and home and family, but knowing that Jesus says this, that you will receive fathers and you will receive mothers and you will receive lands galore in abundance in following after me. The Lord Jesus one time was telling the people to follow him. Come, go, he was saying, as God said to Abraham. And he said, come, follow me. And we see the apostles leaving their father Zebedee, James and John. We see Simon Peter leaving his boat. We see all of these who are following the command, follow me, because they've been blessed, not just with the command, but with the grace to follow him by the Holy Spirit. Because they don't just hear with their ears, they're hearing with their heart and with full faith. But then there's those that said to the Lord Jesus, I'd like to follow you. I'm with you. I'll go with you to Haran, so to speak. But I can't go any further. You see, I've got my father to bury. I've got a farm. I've got some new cattle. And Jesus said, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Because Jesus is the Lord of Abraham. He's the son of Abraham. He's the one who is the substance of all of Abraham's promises. What Abraham was receiving early in God's history was the promise that is realized now with the coming of the Lord Jesus. With his coming to live that perfect life for sinners, to have that perfect righteous record given to us, an undeserved and unexpected grace gift from the Father through the Son by the Spirit, to be declared righteous, not based on our righteousness, but based on His righteousness alone, to be received by faith, that same faith that was the gift to Abraham, that same faith that's given to all believers. That is to receive Christ, to know that Christ has died in our place for all of our sins, that the Father has sent Him to be our substitution. Where we deserved His wrath, where we deserved our lives to be taken away, He unexpectedly and undeservedly has blessed us through the death of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, because of His faithfulness, He was raised on the third day, and He's seated at God's right hand, full of glory, with all authority and power given to Him as the Lord of Abraham and as the Son of Abraham. And so we see in this passage, beloved, we see the blessing of a sovereign and gracious call of God that calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We see the great blessed promises of God to us that we want to feed on. And ultimately, we feed on promise, we feed on the Word, we're feeding on Christ. We want to remember that the third and final blessing is that we receive the blessing of God by faith in order to be a blessing to God and to others. Let me remind us of something. Beloved, it is true, and it would be easy to focus our attention merely on Abraham as our pattern. He is our pattern. What should the blessed person, the true child of Abraham by faith, the one who is part of his beloved nation, his church, who is heir to the cosmos itself in Christ, what characteristics, how should they see Abram? How should they see Abram as a pattern? It's an important question to ask. It would be that we'd be characterized by faith, though we have weak faith often. We pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We pray, I'm going to believe, and Lord, help me, like Father Abraham, to be unwavering, knowing that you're good and greatly to be praised. And I want to be fully persuaded you're able to do what you promised to do. We're to be faithful people. We're to be those faithful, F-U-L-L, faithful, full of faith people by God's grace and Spirit. And we want to seek that. We want to remember the importance of the obedience of Abraham. He went. He went. In reliance upon God's grace and power. And we want to remember the way that Abraham did indeed become a blessing to the world. But before we do that, we want to remember that the Father is the one who blesses us, the source of all blessing, who gives us the substance of those blessings in Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit makes those promises or that blessing real for us. He's the one who gives those blessings to us in real time and space. And so here we want to remember first not Abram, but the pattern of Christ. Christ, before the foundation of the world, was called to go. He was called by the Father to go, and trusting the Father, that the Father would make his name great, that he would be a blessing, that he would be the heir of the world, that he would have a people. All of those promises were made to the Lord Jesus. He's our pattern. And his obedience was because of the love for the Father and the love for us. And it was through him, the true son of Abraham, the true seed of Abraham, the true seed of the woman, that all of us are blessed today who believe. And all whoever shall be truly grace-gifted, graced, blessed by God will be in Jesus alone. And so we want to remember Jesus' pattern. As we're thinking of the blessedness we receive, it's that blessedness in Christ that he went faithfully. He trusted the Father's promises for us. That's his righteousness that's imputed to us. He's the one who is full of blessedness and grace for us today. So you could say, you should say, we should say, that the pattern that Abram followed was not original to himself. It was a pattern that the Son of God had already committed himself to in intimate covenantal love and faithfulness to the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit, because you and I were on his mind and he wanted to bless us. And that is what should cause us to stand up and say, I've been called to be blessed, but I've been called to be a blessing. See, Abram, we're told in verse 2 that I'll bless you and make your name great for this reason, that you will be a blessing. And he calls us in Christ by his power to be a blessing to the world. You see, Abram's response is of faith, Abram's response is of worship, Abram's response is of service. We see Abram building an altar to the Lord in verse 7. We're told he's in a foreign land. He's in a land of obstacles, a land of strangers. He's in a place where they're not familiar with him, and he's not familiar with them. But he knows that how to be a blessing is first to be a blessing to God, to worship God, to be a worshiper for God, to pray to God, to call upon the name of the Lord in the midst of the strangers, in the midst of those who are different, who are very foreign, who are very unfamiliar. We're told that when he gets there, we're told that when he came to the land of Canaan, the Canaanites were in the land. And it's to heighten just how unfamiliar and strange this world was. Now, we're told that Abram has already become a blessing to others. You see, the recipient of God's blessing desires to be the instrument of blessing. The recipient of God's blessing desires to be an instrument of the blessing. How are we told that? We're told in verse 5 that when Abram departed from Haran, Abram took Sarai his wife, Lot his brother's son, all their possessions, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. Who are those people? Those are disciples. The word that's used would be strange to use souls, which is the word used in Hebrew, to speak of souls being brought with Abram as part of his new family. It would be strange to use if he was merely talking about personal property or what the ancient world would call slaves. There is a word for that. These are souls. Abram's already being a blessing in Haran. Abram's being a blessing where God has placed him. The sustaining grace of God is through him believing those promises. It's through worship of God. It's through prayer. But it's also through witness. Abram is witnessing to the blessedness of God that's available to those in Christ through him. And so let me say it again, beloved. We want to be those in Christ that know we're blessed. Know that we've received a grace gift from God to be truly happy, even in this falling world, in union with Jesus Christ, Abraham's Lord, Abraham's greater son. But we want to remember that the gift is given so that then we will be an instrument of blessing to others. The blessing is ours in order to bless others. It starts in being church each Lord's Day, delighting in the Word, delighting in the Lord, delighting in worship, just as Abram built an altar in the midst of the people. He was church planting, if you will. He was showing the true God, the worship of the true God. He was continuing to witness, to make known this blessing of God. We want to be reminded that we as God's people in Christ are that nation that he spoke of. We're those who have a new name in Christ. We're those who are heirs of the cosmos, not because of anything we've done, but because of Christ alone. And we want to know that that's what it means, that we're truly blessed. We want to keep that blessing to ourselves. We want to continue to bless one another. We want to continue to give that which is undeserved and often unexpected to another. Yes, we want to worship, but we also want to tell of these glad tidings that we find in Christ. We want to do this in reliance upon God's grace, in the power of His Holy Spirit, reflecting on the promises that God has made to us, having our imaginations captured by these promises, our hearts filled with these promises, and acting on them by faith. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 3 as I move toward closing. I want us to be reminded of something. We as the church, the beloved of Christ, the true children of Abraham, have a wonderful opportunity all around us. Some of us have been called to go very specifically to specific places. Some of us have been called to stay here, but yet go each and every day to your workplaces, your neighbors, to other people you come into contact with, to be a blessing and to make known this blessing that you've received. But beloved, you're saying it more and I'm hearing it more. This world, this country doesn't seem like my country, my place anymore. I seem like I'm a stranger in my own home. It's interesting. We oftentimes, I think, complain about that. But it's the powerful grace of God in many ways that he's given us an opportunity where rather than us specifically going to a strange land that's unfamiliar, he's in many ways brought the strange land and the unfamiliar to us. So if you look around and you say, I don't know that I belong anymore, remember you've been blessed in order to welcome the stranger. You've been blessed in order to offer hospitality, offer God's grace gift in Christ. What a privilege! You've been called to invite them to worship so you can see what true worship of the triune God looks like. You can bring them close enough to try it on through friendship, through companionship. Listen to Galatians 3, beloved, verse 16. I want to read two verses here. The promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring or seed. It does not say unto offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring who is Christ. All the promises that Abraham was heir to, that we're heir to, are ultimately the promises Christ is heir to. And beloved, there can be no blessedness apart from Christ. As the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No man is blessed. No woman is blessed by the Father except through me. He's the heir. And at the end of chapter 3, notice verse 29. And if you are Christ, that is, if you believe in him, if you've received the blessedness that comes in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. In this strange new world, look around you. Ask God for compassion to see that he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, to feed you on his promises, and to call you to live by faith, not by sight. To seek not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing to others. That's our privilege. Think of one person, one family that you have not recently blessed, that you have an opportunity to bless, physically, spiritually. And remember, when you offer physical, spiritual encouragement, especially physical, remember to interpret that. What I mean by that is that we say, that's no goodness in me. That's the sovereign, gracious call of my God who's blessed me. And I can make no promises to you. I'm as unfaithful as you are. But I know a God who will make those promises and will keep them even unto death, resurrection, enthronement, through all generations. For the Lord is good. The Lord is greatly to be praised. So let's think of that person, that those people that we can bless, and let's, in reliance upon his grace, seek to be a blessing as we've been called to be. And let us thank God for his grace gift. The grace gift that's unexpected, undeserved. The grace gift that the Father is the source of and the Son is the substance of, the Spirit is the giver of. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're so grateful for your blessings in Christ. We know that all of your promises are yes and amen in him. We thank you that we are your people in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in knowing more deeply the blessedness of being your people, the true children of Abraham by faith in Christ, that we would think of our new identities, that the old would be passed away, that we'd remember that we're heirs of eternity with you, heirs of the world, the cosmos even, that one day you shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. When we see you, we shall see you as you are. We'll be like you fully. No more sin, no more suffering, no more death, no more judgment, no more hell. Until then, help us to seek peace and pursue it, to be a blessing. And let us be reminded in seeking to be at peace with all men as far as it's in our power to do, that it's not for us to bring judgment. It's for us to bring blessing, to bless even when we are cursed, knowing the promise that if they curse your people, they're cursing you. And if they don't come to receive your blessing, they will undergo eternal judgment for their sin, ultimately against you and your people. You love your people so. Help us to continue to not only know we're blessed, but to be a blessing. Help us to see opportunities every day and to give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the church responded with a resounding Amen.